Triple M's Tom and Ollie can be naughty boys with naughty questions. That's why the following content is rated naughty.
Buckle up, kids.
All ears proceed past this point at their own risk.
Say, kids, what time is it?
She said 9 o'clock.
Yeah, baby.
Tom and Ollie's naughty after nine.
Oh, baby. We've got such a treat in store for you tonight. As well as talking about nudity and if we're too precious, Ollie, I found the most amazing article on Mamma Mia about a mum who can't believe what's going on in the boys' change room. It's brilliant. I have to bring it to you. It's
God.
So amazing.
Sounds shrill. In the meantime, Tom.
No, that's just me.
A bit of feedback on Facebook coming through on Tom and Ollie from Matt. He said, you could just email the company to get a list of uses, then this poxy segment would be gone. Referring to your tub uses. So well,
it might be poxy to you, mate, but it's a cracker on the phone, so we're going to keep doing it.
He did end with a crying smiley face. We can't do that, Tom. We are going to press ahead as a group. Yeah. Let's just get it done.
That's about our plastic tub that we're trying to find all the uses for. But Ollie, up next, can you believe it? We have an associate professor on for Naughty After Nine. His name is Dr. Robert Gorkin.
Yes, Robert Gorkin. I was going to say Robert Gorkin with a Corkin new idea about condoms and a brand new technology.
Ollie, you don't get a guest on and just do puns about their name, mate. That's not how it works, especially not an associate professor from the University of Wollongong, Australia, who's just been granted a grant.
Is that an article?
What?
Is that part of an article? Because the headline could be, Gorkin's idea is Corkin.
Oh, come on, mate.
It's a Corkin idea from Gorkin.
Hey, it's been described as something that might make sex more appealing. It's a brand new condom. We'll get him on next to explain all about this new technology. It's Naughty After Nine with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. We have questions. The Living End, roll on. Exactly what you do with a prophylactic, Ollie. You're with Triple M's Tom and Ollie. It is Naughty After Nine.
A Tom and Ollie content warning.
Yeah, baby.
Tom and Ollie's Naughty After Nine.
I don't know if you heard about these New South Wales MedTech grants that were granted last week, Ollie, but...
Oh, everyone heard about those, didn't they?
One piqued my interest, and it was a brand new design from Dr. Robert Gorkin, who is a biomedical engineer and entrepreneur from the University of Wollongong, Australia, and the co-founder of Eudemon Technologies. Did I get that all right, Dr. Robert Gorkin?
Yeah, that was perfect. Great to be on.
Mate, now I'm so excited to have you on, because when I read about this brand new prophylactic... It piqued my interest. What are you doing here?
Yeah, so look, I think everyone can say that no one likes condoms, or it's very rare to find some people that like condoms.
Yeah.
Basically, we've been using the same material for 50 years, 100 years of latex, and we're replacing latex with a novel tough hydrogel that feels and acts more like skin.
Well, you've got a list here that says we've been using for the past whatever years linen sheaths, goat's bladders, animal intestines, vulcanized rubber. So they were all at once the go-to, were they?
Yeah, that's all legacy. And I mean, yeah, condoms have been around since the Egyptian times. But
really?
Number one issue still today is feel. So we're trying to overcome that by replacing these legacy materials with some innovative new tough hydrogels.
Wow. Okay, so you've got $1 million to spend now.
Yeah.
And when you had this hydrogel, this skin-like hydrogel that you've kind of come up with, how did you come across this? What happens in the lab to come across a material like this?
I got to say, I wasn't into condom research or condoms. I mean, I knew what they were and everything else, but we were actually doing 3D printed implants and next generation bionics.
Whoa.
And we were using these materials that were very organ-like and tissue-like. And the reason that we started moving towards condoms was because of the Gates Foundation. So the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, about a couple years ago, put out a call for next generation condoms to improve uptake and use.
It really is one of those things as well, isn't it, that you don't really think about, that it is old technology, like that we have latex.
It says here that the article was called Bill Gates Wants Safer Sex, and that's not him personally. That was him saying, that worldwide we need to get better at safe sex, was it?
Yeah, he hasn't called me and said that for certain, but yeah. And look, I would say, I don't even think the Gates Foundation really cares about condoms themselves. They care about the impacts of not using condoms, across the world, particularly in these developing countries. So there's like a million new STIs per day, 80 million unplanned pregnancies per year, like $60 billion global burden. And even though it is a medical device, it's unique that it's one of the few devices that's actually also a consumer product. So we choose whether to use condoms or not. So this is an area that's in desperate need for innovation, and we're just trying something else.
Totally. We're speaking to Dr. Robert Gorkin, who's a biomedical engineer and entrepreneur who's created this brand new substance that could become a new condom.
So in the lab, Rob, where are you at? What have you got the condom? Have you got a prototype, or where are you at?
Yeah, so we've taken this all the way from concept through to prototypings, and we're aiming, particularly with this new money that we got from the New South Wales Medical Device Fund, to go to actually human trials by the end of the year or early next year.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So
how do you trial pre-human trial? What do you do? Is there mice having a go at it with tiny condoms?
Yeah, you'd think. It is a medical device. There's a very stringent regulatory and manufacturing pathway.
Right.
If you look online, there's a whole bunch of things of people blowing condoms up.
Yeah.
And they're basically these tests of looking at inflation, tensile tests, barrier properties. It's to look at how the device performs. So these mechanical properties and biological properties basically indicate whether they've been produced correctly. And that gives an indication on whether or not the condoms are safe. So if you want to sell condoms in Australia or all around the world, you do these tests. You send them to labs. We mimic that on the same equipment with the same specialists. But then we went a bit further. So these tough hydrogels, we wanted to really look at, you know, how much people would like them better. So not just safety and efficacy, but actually looking at preference.
Yeah.
Without having people have sex with them, because we couldn't get there at that point, we did a whole bunch of like field tests just by hand. We did actually some neuroscience where we monitor the brain when you touch these materials, and it actually excites an area of attached emotion and pleasure in the brain. So before you can even tell us that you like it, your brain's telling us you like it.
Cool.
So we've got all these indicators that these materials will act better. And I should say right now, I'm actually wearing a tough hydrogel right now, not down there, but in terms of my contact lenses.
Same thing.
Yeah, it's a similar feel. It's kind of like a wet, squishy plastic that feels more like skin.
Wow.
So very safe for sensitive areas of the body, obviously like contact lenses. Difference is if anybody's worn a contact lens or uses them, they rip really easily. We just changed the material to be very stretchy. So our material can stretch like 4,000 times its own length.
Whoa.
But it's a very similar, I mean, for those who wear contact lenses, you ideally almost don't even feel that it's there. That's exactly what we're trying to do, but with safer sex.
Cool.
Have you thought about flavors yet, or am I jumping ahead?
We have, and actually, again, this is all stuff that we figured out during the way, but number one issue is actually feel. The second and third are smell and taste.
Yeah.
I haven't yet tasted a condom, but our materials have the ability to actually load small molecules inside them.
Wow.
So basically what that means is it stops bacteria and viruses and sperm from going through, but you can load very, very small things like even anti-HIV or anti-STD compounds, or things like flavor esters, or if you want some cooling sensation, you can throw some mint in there. If you want heating, you put some capsicum in. So the same things that happen with lubricants and whatnot, you can actually embed in the condom itself instead of putting it on top of the condom.
Dr. Robert Gorkin, I have so many more questions for you. Do you mind sticking around?
Happy to.
That'd be awesome. I want to know its actual use. I want to know how I can actually be part of this human trial later on in the year.
And if you have a question, 133353,
yeah.
Ask Rob.
Totally. You're with Tom and Ollie on Triple M, Naughty After 9. It's Dire Straits with Lady Ryder. I've got that new one from Dean Lewis to chuck on for you called Be Alright. It's been absolutely smashing it on the charts. And we'll also play some Van Halen. You're with Triple M's Tom and Ollie, and it is Naughty After 9. Oh, come on, mate.
A Tom and Ollie content warning.
Slow.
Yeah, baby.
Tom and Ollie's Naughty After 9.
Eli, can we put that down in engineering faults, please? Thank you very much. I pressed that button. We're speaking to Dr. Robert Gorkin, who is a biomedical engineer and entrepreneur. He's the co-founder of Eudemon Technologies, who have been granted $1 million from the New South Wales Medical Devices Fund to basically create a brand new condom out of a skin-like hydrogel. I'm hoping I'm not butchering your amazing work here.
No, you got it spot on.
Okay, cool. Now, I want to talk about this human trial because you haven't really tested it with humans yet, this brand new condom. First of all, like, Is it like a is it like an original condom where it's rolled up and you would roll this thing on? How does it work?
Yeah, look, we did think about what we could do differently.
Yeah.
So replacing latex with these tough hydrogels offers a whole new opportunity for design, for manufacturing. You know, pretty much we started from the ground up and said,
cool.
Look, the condom's a have to, not a want to. But what if you could make the experience even better than natural? Mm. I don't know if we'll ever get that far, but essentially we've mimicked what a condom would do, but improved, you know, visual appeal, the actual feeling, application, everything. But essentially cool. It rolls on. You'll find it in the same package. It rolls on. And particularly for the trials, it has to be kind of an apples-to-apples comparison. So you basically, users try normal latex condoms and these condoms, and they rate them in terms of their experience. You're going to get paid for it, which is pretty
amazing.
Awesome.
That's amazing. Oh,
that's a good gig.
Yeah.
Are they invisible or see-through?
They are see-through, which is something that you actually can't do with latex. So some of the processes, you kind of get them somewhat clear, but they have that kind of cloudy-like visualization. These are completely clear. Again, just very similar to a contact lens. However, you can load them with colors and make them glow in the dark, whatever you want as well.
Thinner than latex?
Thinner. We can go very thin. There are certain standards that you have to adhere to in terms of their thickness and length and width, everything. However, these materials have something that they have a better tactile sensitivity. And the best way to explain that is you can actually feel through the material more than you can with latex. So latex, it's a balloon is a balloon is a balloon. We all know what it feels like.
Yeah.
You're feeling that. Some people have reported when they feel this, they can actually feel the ridges of their fingerprint through the material a thickness that's the same as normal latex condoms.
This is insane. All right, we're speaking to Dr. Robert Gorkin, who has created a new type of technology, him and his team, that could be used in a brand new condom. Okay, it says here that you're going to launch a human trial by the end of 2018. I've got two questions. A, how do I get involved? And B, what is involved in a human trial? Is it basically just a massive orgy that you host in a lab?
Oh, come on, Tom. You're better than that, mate. It's so thirsty.
Filmed and then put on Pornhub. You know, that's how it goes. We're hoping to get this started by the end of 2018. Most likely it's going to push into 2019. This is all dependent on everything. It's all regulation. And what we're trying to do now is organize a trial through actually the FDA in the U.S. and potentially some corresponding trials with the TGA here in Australia, as well as do something for the Gates Foundation in Africa. So it's a full policy and procedure, and you basically do applications and you get ethics clearance. Part of the requirements are typically you need to be in a monogamous relationship, STI free, and willing to be okay with be on another type of birth control or be okay with getting pregnant if the device fails.
Oh.
So you're recruiting these partners to come in and do this.
I might be out.
Yeah,
but Tom,
I don't know which of those you don't fit into. I'm not going to get into it, but
I'm in a same-sex couple, so there's no risk of pregnancy. Even though we've been trying to get pregnant for years, there's no risk of pregnancy involved at all.
I will say there are no condoms rated specifically for anal.
Ah.
I don't know if I can say that on the one, but
totally.
I have.
Yeah, totally.
But there's nothing there. That's something we also hope to improve on in the future. So there's no reason why you can't create new standards and actually make new condoms that can be done. And also female condoms. I mean, this is a platform material. It's not just for the male condom, but the male condom is obviously there's 27 billion condoms used across the globe.
Yeah.
That's going to grow to 50 billion in the future. Mid-2020s, so population growth and everything else. And there's always a new demographic that's going to need condoms.
Well, yeah, there is, Rob. Here's a demo I can help with. I thought I could do my own testing here. Have you heard of the crude language, but the posh wank?
I can't say I have.
Posh wank is when you feel like treating yourself and you have a session on your own with a condom. Just because there's the no mess factor and it's a bit of fun, a bit of novelty.
I think
I could test out the posh wank.
So the Netflix and chill by yourself.
Essentially,
solo.
Yes, that's right, and no mess, no fuss.
Well, and you know, as crazy as that sounds, we're actually also looking into masturbation trials.
Brilliant.
I never thought I would say that, especially on the radio. But yeah, this is something, again, like we want to...
Sign me up.
We'll do it, for sure.
Yeah, part of this is about feeling or figuring out if people will like it, right? Yeah. So multiple people have to use this.
I think Ollie will like it, Dr. Robert Gorkin. I think he'll like it a lot.
Thank you so much, Robert Gorkin. It's amazing research you're doing, and it sounds like it's not just a bit of fun, but also, you know, world and health changing.
Yeah, can't wait to see what comes of this, mate. This is amazing. Thank you so much.
Yeah, cheers. And thanks for having me on.
And seriously, we want to be part of that human trial, mate.
Look, you're on the list. There is a waiting list. I get this question all the time, but we're hoping, honestly, to get it out as quickly as possible. We're following all the medical regulation, everything else. So safety first.
Nah, just chuck us at the top, mate. Just chuck us at the top. We'll be there. Thank you so much, Dr. Robert Gorkin.
Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
A Tom and Ollie content warning.
Yeah, baby.
Tom and Ollie's. Oh. After 9.
Tom, thanks again to Robert Gorkin, who joined us before talking about...
Dr. Robert Gorkin.
Doctor. I did make a pun about Robert Gorkin's got a corking new idea.
Yeah.
But on Facebook, Richie's outdone me. He said, I can't believe you two thirsty piggies didn't run with the slogan, it's time to start porking, thanks to Dr. Robert Gorkin.
What a thirsty piggy indeed.
Richie is. Mate. He's saying you're thirsty.
I'm not thirsty. I'm just saying I'd like to be involved in a human trial for a brand new condom.
And during a song, you said, I hope it's an orgy.
No.
You said, I hope it's an orgy where I get to test it out. One condom, 7 different people.
You took the words and put them right into my mouth to quote some lyrics from a song.
That's graphic.
Huh? Up next, imagine a world where you can't be naked in a change room. Well, that's what one mum has written about on mamamia.com.au.
Oh, no.
I want to read you some highlights. It's
You're
absolutely
on the warpath.
Insane stuff. You're with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. 25 minutes ago, Jump, Van Halen, Triple M's Tom and Ollie. Then the tunes will keep on rolling
until you
through,
leave.
Mate. The tunes will keep on rolling through after that 25 minutes.
Station keeps playing.
Yeah.
Things still, I mean, we just leave.
Yeah, we go home to our beds.
Wow.
A Tom and Ollie content warning.
Yeah, baby.
Tom and Ollie's Naughty After 9.
All right, it's not often. It is often. I read mamamia.com.au and I'm shocked. I mean, it's a great website. It does some good stuff for its demographic, its target audience.
Yeah.
But when I read a headline that says, the shocking behavior in swim school change rooms that makes me uncomfortable as a mum, I go, okay. I can see what's going on here.
You didn't emphasize that last bit of the article, that headline. The shocking behavior in swim school change rooms that makes me uncomfortable as a mum. As a mother, Tom. Mamma mia, as a mother.
As a mother, I'd like to say, as a mother. You can never refute as a mother.
Also,
can you?
No, you can't. And she's anonymous as well. So she's an anonymous mother.
That's my favorite part. Good on you, anonymous. Hey, all right. So this is basically where she goes on to say, look, I'm in a swimming pool. It's purely dedicated for teaching children to swim, which I don't know if these centers exist. I haven't seen a purely learning to
kids
swim.
Kids only.
Yeah. But basically she says in the female side of the change room, they cover up a lot. They shower in their bathers and they quickly get changed. And then they put the towel on and put the undies on and get out of there as quickly as possible.
Sounds modest.
It does sound modest. I quote, but from a few sources, it seems this is not often replicated next door in the male change rooms. Apparently in there, it is more like a nudist colony, where your birthday suit is the outfit of choice of many and the outfit they seem very proud to show off.
Oh.
She is annoyed that men are getting naked in change rooms. She goes on to say, I've heard that they will strip right down butt naked in order to change or shower.
Yeah, obviously.
And it isn't a quick process. Often this exhibition, she says, will involve a relaxing and very thorough shower, then a further parade naked to their towel, where they dry themselves without forgetting any crack or crevice, then proceed to put the towel down before sorting through the swim bag to find their clothing. Then at the speed of a snail, they finally get dressed.
This is almost, to me, absurdly provocative, Tom. This is like some kind of Andrew Bolt, conservative columnist. Who's,
As a mother.
these boys are drying every crevice of their body with no shame.
Okay.
There's no shame. That's good.
You know what I think about nudity, and you're pretty much on the same page. I mean, we're
Basically nudist.
I've got no. I'm not a nudist, but I've got no shame in getting changed willy nilly, like free willy. I mean, I don't care.
Totally.
You have a particular strong desire for the change rooms to be very open.
Oh,
I mean, you've
what are you talking
on
about?
The radio. You've campaigned to remove the partitions between urinals.
Well, it's ridiculous. Why do we need a partition at a urinal? What's that doing?
Well, some would say privacy, Tom.
Well, then no. Then go to the toilet stall. You don't need privacy at a urinal. That's the point.
What are your thoughts on there are a few little toilets or like little compartments where you can get changed privately as opposed to the public area?
I think that's important as we move towards a more trans community or some religions. You know, part of your religious upbringing is that you don't reveal certain parts.
So or I kids,
understand
or kids
there's
too.
Part of that. Kids as well.
Parents bring their daughter in, like a father might have a daughter
well,
in
well, usually at pools and stuff now, they have a family change room,
which is
specifically for that purpose. The pool that I go to has a family change room. I'm pretty sure the one that you go to does as well.
I'm part of a family. Can I go in there? I've got a mum and dad. And siblings?
Well, as a mother, I'd say no.
As a mother? As a son?
Here's what I want to ask. Are we too precious about nudity? 133353. Are we too precious about nudity?
Well, this dickhead is.
Who?
This dickhead in the article.
No, you can't call as a mother a dickhead.
I can call Anonymous a dickhead. That could be her name for all we know.
Oh, my God.
Well, it's over the top.
It is. 133353. Are we too precious about nudity? What do you reckon? Give us a call. This is Hootie Gurus. You're with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. We have questions. Miss Freelove, 69. Hootie Gurus, Triple M's Tom and Ollie. Hope you're having a fun Monday night. I'm going to chuck on that new Dean Lewis track up next, I reckon. It's just been smashing it. It's great. It's called Be Alright.
A Tom and Ollie content warning.
Yeah, baby.
Tom and Ollie's Naughty After 9.
Oh, the shocking behaviour in swim school change rooms that makes me uncomfortable as a mother.
Man, this mum has gone on a rant, Tom, on Mamma Mia. She's saying that boys are too freely naked. They're not covering up the way they should. Although this is all hearsay from her. She hasn't actually been to the bathroom.
That's the best part. She says, from a few sources.
You can't.
She's great.
It's almost like Mamma Mia shouldn't have, in good conscience, published someone who's writing an article that's based on a few sources in inverted commas. And she's anonymous. Like, there's just no accountability.
She's also saying it makes many other men uncomfortable when they get changed in the change room, when they become naked in the change room.
And what sources are those from?
Some sources. It makes many kids of both genders uncomfortable, confronted, or shocked. And it makes women uncomfortable when they hear what their 4-year-old daughter just witnessed when she was getting changed after her lesson.
Nothing wrong with seeing body parts, I don't think. And I think you're on the same page, Tom.
Yeah, 133353. Are we too precious about nudity? I mean, come on. Do we really need to cover up so much? Helen on 133353. What do you reckon about this one?
Hey, guys. So I actually driving along listening to this story.
Yeah.
Look, I think we are a bit. I get that there's a time and a place too for nudity. Obviously, you don't go running down the mall, you know. Yes. Unless you're streaking.
Yeah.
But I feel like hearing that story, driving along, thinking what it says to me is that I feel like males just seem to be a lot more comfortable in their body. And I feel like females, we're too judgmental of each other, of things not looking right or not perfect or, you know, or being worried about being judged by the other. Look, I'd love the confidence to be able to just walk around naked too. You know, I do it at home. But even when I've been in swim rooms, because I'm 40 now, but even when I was younger, you know, in my 20s and that, I was still self-conscious. But I seem to find talking between males and females, males are just a lot more prouder of their bodies. They don't seem to be as fussed. And the thing is, too, I can't understand, like, it's not like there's females walking around in this male room. Like, the genders are separated.
Yeah.
So, you know, if there's other males that are concerned, they surely could bring it up.
Yeah, well, Helen, a lot of the comments that were on this Mamma Mia article were saying a similar thing to you, saying that I wish I was more comfortable in my own body, and women are quite judgmental in the change room. They wished it was more of an open place and a more accepting place.
Yep,
but
and
Ollie,
it's
you were reading recently about the fact that there are like quite a lot of body issues in men. Recently,
yeah, well,
is that right?
There are some studies saying that boys are growing in that body image issue. But I think historically and even still now, you're right, Helen, that women do face a tougher battle there. Why do you think that is, even in older ladies?
You know, I'd love to know that myself. I just think there's this overall, and not with every female, I feel like there's a higher percentage of females that feel like, you know, maybe we wish we had bigger breasts or smaller breasts or a bigger booty, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't know whether that's the whole factor of movies or magazines or just our upbringing, you know what I mean? I don't know whether there was more focus on us as girls, you know?
Yeah.
Beauty pageants and dance lessons. I don't know, you know?
Yeah, totally. Are we too precious about nudity? 133353. And thank you so much for sharing, Helen. Stuart, what do you think about this? Are we too precious?
I think in this case, I feel sorry if this woman's got a daughter, because, I mean, you know, a lot of attitudes get taught at home, and it sounds like in this case that body shaming's getting taught at home.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is an element of if you can't be proud about or at least own your own body, Stuart, then you're doomed. I mean, you're going to have a struggle for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I mean, you know, some people are more comfortable than others, and you'll always get some who feel like they want to cover up, but to have that sort of slant on it, that's a negative slant as opposed to just it being your own personal choice.
Are you a father, Stuart?
Yeah, I am. Two little girls.
And so how do you go about it, do you think? With nudity?
Oh, we don't make a big deal of it. They still, you know, they're sort of 6 and 8, and they still, you know, run around the house in the nude you know, after baths and that sort of thing. It's just not a big deal.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Well, thank you very much for your comments, Stuart. 133353. Are we too precious about nudity? Give us a call. You're with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. This is this new one from Dean Lewis called Be Alright. It's Be Alright, Dean Lewis. New music here on Triple M. Let us know what you think. Head to triplem.com.au and become a Triple M club member.
A Tom and Ollie content warning.
Yeah, baby.
Tom and Ollie's Naughty After 9.
I want to know if you reckon if we're too precious about nudity. I'm not sure if the way I said that there was correct, but are we too precious about nudity? 133353.
Well, the article you've brought to us, Tom, from Mamma Mia, written by a woman who seems to think that boys get far too nude and far too open in the change rooms. I think what it's brought to light, which is interesting for me particularly, is the difference between boys and girls. And a lot of our callers have been pointing out that women seem to have a different perspective on this one. It can be harder for them for some reason, whether that's through societal pressures, and boys seem to have more of a freedom to get nude and not give a damn. What do you think about this, Sarah?
Hello, boys. How are we?
Excellent.
Good. That's good. Look, I mean, I haven't heard much of Mamma Mia, but Mum's Net is exactly the same as this. It is women berating each other.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do anything these days without a woman telling you that you're doing it wrong.
Yeah,
like, it's like, the expectations that we have to live up to are ridiculous. Like, if you don't look like Kylie Jenner, you're not accepted straight away. Like, you don't have the butt, if you don't have the boobs, like, I don't know how guys deal with it, but girls get hounded every day. Like, it's the most, I can't even tell you how many girls have come to me and told me that they feel ashamed because they don't look as good as another girl. Like, they get so awkward in situations because there's another girl that's prettier than them. It is just a constant competition. And I'm like, look, if guys feel comfortable, just let them whip it out. Obviously not in public because it's illegal, but if you're in a change room, get it out. Like, you guys, you're walking around, and it's not like girls are going in there. Like, you're not going in there to assess the situation. Like, there's a wall between you. It's two separate rooms. Why isn't any of your business?
I really feel for you, Sarah, just as a woman. I think you're right about there being generally wider than just the change rooms, but you're right about pressure that's put on women by yourselves and probably by men as well. Does it ever change, like, when you've got your own good friends and you get together as girls, does that change it? Does that make it more intimate, you know, being good friends? Or is it just, you know, across the board, you know, judgy?
Look, I mean, they're, I have a lot, like, I'm not skinny, but I do have a lot of friends that I do love, and it's hard sometimes when you're around them because, like I said, because there is this expectation, when you're around each other, it doesn't really matter as much because, you know, that they're not paying attention to what you look like. When you're around guys, your, like, self-esteem just shoots straight down to zero because you see someone look at another girl and you're like, oh, like, I don't look as good as her, that's why they're not looking, or something. You know what I mean? Like, It's just there is so much expectation and there is so much pressure put on us as women,
yeah.
and the way that we do, the way that we act and whatnot. And if you do something wrong, like I said, people will berate you. And women on Mumsnet, they are lethal. Like, they just do not care. If yeah. you're not doing something right,
yep.
they will tell you straight out and they will be hellish about it. It's just nuts.
Whereas men probably go into it going, I don't know what's going on. And the other guys go, yeah, neither. And
and they're just both naked. Like,
yeah. they're, all I mean? They're all flopping it out.
Well, Sarah, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us tonight. And please, you do you. Don't worry about any of the haters. It's all about loving yourself and loving thy body. And look, we support you. We're not those types of men that go, oh, my chick has to have their makeup on to look good. It's ridiculous.
No, Tom, there's more in this. I think I'd love to really explore why, you know, these expectations are so high for girls and how we can change that.
Totally.
But it's a big question with probably no real answer.
Yeah, especially not at 4. Ollie, we have to get out of here.
Oh, yeah, let's.
Yeah, let's. Yeah, let's right.
Bye. See you tomorrow.
That was Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Catch up on the show by downloading the Triple M app. And if you like it, share it with your mates. For more Tom and Ollie, hit the boys up on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter @TomandOllie.